Welcome to today's reading of the San Angelo Standard Times, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org. Hello, this is Michael. I'm reading the San Angelo Standard Times for the week of May 10th, 2020. I'm reading on Thursday, May 14th, and as always, I'll begin with today's articles and then work my way back further into the week as we go. May 14th COVID-19 update. 6-day streak ends with one new COVID case for Thursday, by John Tufts. Health officials on Thursday announced one person has tested positive for the coronavirus, the first new case of COVID-19 for the Tom Green County area in nearly a week, which brings the total up to 85 cases, according to information from the city of San Angelo. The person who tested positive is a white male in his 30s and a Tom Green County resident. Health authorities are still investigating why he tested positive for the coronavirus, according to a news release. As of May 14th, there have been 2,739 tests administered in Tom Green County. 85 have returned as positive, 93 remain pending results, and 2,561 have returned negative. From 2 p.m. Wednesday through 2 p.m. Thursday, 149 tests were completed. A total of 60 county residents have tested positive for the coronavirus since testing began in late February, according to city statistics. The majority of patients came into contact with the disease through exposure to someone known to have the virus, with 38 patients. Community spread cases, meaning patients had no known contact with the patient or traveled to a prevalent area, had 16 patients. The latest case is still pending investigation. Many of the test results are from an event held May 6th by Texas Military Department, which offered 180 coronavirus tests freely to the public. Officials said 129 people were scheduled for an appointment during the May 6th event, in which 117 were actually tested. The results of those tests included one positive, pending investigation for transmission type, 109 negative, 7 pending, 12 not tested due to not showing up for scheduled appointment. Officials said all tests from the Texas military testing will be attributed to Tom Green County. The Texas Military Department will host another free coronavirus testing event in the San Angelo area Saturday from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Saturday, May 16th. Residents who wish to get tested for COVID-19 can do so at the McNeese Convention Center, 501 Rio Concho Drive. To schedule an appointment, residents beginning Friday can call 512-883-2400. Again, that's 512-883-2400. Man shot during standoff with law enforcement at Schleicher County Ranch, by Paul Harris. A 47-year-old man was shot during a standoff with law enforcement officers Thursday, May 14th, at a ranch in eastern Schleicher County, according to multiple reports. The man's condition is unknown, but officers canceled the call for a paramedic at the scene, which could indicate the man was deceased. Schleicher County Chief Deputy Jason Chatham responded to a 911 call Wednesday evening at a remote ranch when a caller said that he and his wife were hiding in a pasture after their son had threatened them, the El Dorado Success reported. Chatham called for backup as well as assistance from the Menard County Sheriff's Office. A DPS trooper and game warden also responded to the call. The suspect was believed to be in possession of several weapons, according to the El Dorado Success. Officers located the man's parents, took them to safety before setting up a perimeter around the home. By Thursday morning, an armed tactical vehicle had been called in, along with at least one Texas Ranger and the DPS SWAT team from Austin. The man has been identified by other media outlets as Donnie Leak. He reportedly was broadcasting himself barricaded in the house on Facebook Live, according to ConchoValleyHomepage.com, which reported he was heard saying that authorities were getting close when the last thing his more than 300 viewers saw was his phone drop on the ground after a gunshot was heard. Standoff outside San Angelo home ends in three arrests, two connected robberies by Paul Harris, Colin Murphy, John Tufts, Elena Edgen, and Rosanna Aguilera. Update 11:45 a.m. Thursday. Three people were arrested Wednesday night after a tense standoff outside a San Angelo home that lasted over 4 hours, involving SWAT officers and the fire department. About 5 p.m. Wednesday, May 13th, there were reports of police outside a home on 20th Street. Officers learned that two men inside the home were suspected of robbing three businesses Wednesday: a Stripes convenience store at 1821 North Bryant Boulevard, a 7-Eleven convenience store at 2202 North Chadburn Street, and Smoker's Outlet and Daiquiri Oasis at 1902 North Chadburn Street. The convenience store robberies happened between 5 and 7 a.m., and the Smoker's Outlet robbery occurred about 4 p.m., according to police. Officers learned that the suspects went only about a block away to a house on 20th Street after they reportedly robbed Smoker's Outlet. When police arrived, they could see the two young men fighting inside the home. Police tried to contact the men with a speaker in the police vehicle. At about 8:28 p.m., the people inside the home put items outside and lit them on fire, which the SWAT team put out. Nearby homes were evacuated due to safety concerns, according to police. SWAT officers stormed the house about 8:56 p.m., and three people were arrested. The two robbery suspects were injured, but it was from assaulting each other, police said. The suspects that were taken into custody this evening were involved in the two previous robberies reported Wednesday, said Tracy Piat Fox, SAPD Public Information Officer. Police arrested Jorge and Abelando Arriola, both 32, on suspicion of two counts of aggravated robbery and one count of robbery. Jorge Arriola also had a charge of fugitive from justice. Both men remained in Tom Green County Jail with no bond listed as of noon Thursday, according to online jail records. Officers also arrested Cindy Martinez, 31, on suspicion of interference with public duties and public intoxication. She was released from Tom Green County Jail on a $962 bond Thursday morning, according to online jail records. An 18-year-old woman was also in the home during the standoff and was not injured, according to police. Just before 5 a.m. Wednesday, two men entered the Stripes. One man stole items, while the second displayed a weapon and took money from the register. The men left in a red or maroon SUV, according to police. At 6:15 a.m., one of the men entered the 7-Eleven and displayed a weapon while taking money from the register. In both robberies, no employees were injured. Police asked the public's help identifying and finding the men at about noon Wednesday on Facebook before they strike again, according to the Post. The men struck again about 4 p.m. at Smoker's Outlet, according to police. Witnesses saw the guys who robbed the store walk to a house on 20th Street, which is near the store, said Atele Villarreal, a Smoker's Outlet employee. The guy that robbed Stripes Wednesday morning was wearing the same clothes when he robbed the outlet. Villarreal was not at the store during the robbery, but was working during the standoff. Crab King's Florida-style seafood scheduled to open restaurant in San Angelo, by Rosanna Aguilera. Crab King's, a fast casual restaurant that specializes in Florida-style seafood, is set to open a San Angelo location in June 2020. "We have not opened just yet," stated a Facebook comment. Grand opening details will be posted soon. According to comments from the page, the business set up a temporary food truck for a week sometime earlier this year. You guys showed so much support that we decided to make San Angelo our permanent home, the comment stated. The business, which will be located on Sherwood Way, hopes to open during the first week of June, according to the page. Crab King also has restaurants in other Texas cities, including Abilene, San Antonio, El Paso, Elgin, and Austin. National Guard teams will help disinfect Texas nursing homes in battle against COVID-19 by John C. Moritz, Corpus Christi Caller Times, Austin Bureau. The Texas National Guard will help disinfect nursing homes around the state in an ongoing effort to limit the spread of coronavirus, which has hit assisted living centers and long-term care facilities disproportionately hard. Governor Greg Abbott, who announced the deployment in a news release Wednesday, said the teams of Guard troops will be equipped with unique supplies such as advanced personal protective equipment, ionized sprayers, and vital oxide to battle the virus. 6 teams have already been mobilized to facilities across the state, with more coming online. Earlier this week, Abbott ordered all residences and workers at Texas nursing homes be tested for COVID-19, the respiratory illness caused by coronavirus. Last week at a news briefing, a top health official said that about 20% of the state's 1,220 nursing homes have reported at least one case of the virus. State and federal health authorities have said elderly people, especially those with underlying health conditions, are more at risk of contracting the illness that so far has infected more than 41,000 people in Texas and caused at least 1,133 deaths in the state. Guard units are also helping administer COVID-19 testing and performing other duties to limit further spreading. The Texas National Guard plays a crucial role in our ongoing response to COVID-19, and I am grateful for their work to address the unique challenges our nursing homes face during this pandemic, Abbott said in his news release. The training these guardsmen have received will equip them with the knowledge and tools they need to provide this crucial assistance to these facilities. Buyer beware. Local county health official urges caution on antibody tests for COVID-19 by John Tufts. A Tom Green County health official is urging local residents to think twice before buying antibody testing kits for COVID-19 that haven't been thoroughly vetted by government regulators. For starters, medical experts have said many of the kits don't work as advertised. During an emergency San Angelo City Council meeting April 30th, officials heard from Dr. James Veretes, Public Health Authority and Medical Director for the San Angelo Tom Green County Health Department. Veretes told City Council members that many antibody tests for COVID-19 were an unproven, unreliable technology. When we look at the antibody tests being used around the world, they don't only turn positive with our current coronavirus, but they'll turn positive for all the 4 coronaviruses that were out before, Veretes said April 30th. Last month, the United Kingdom purchased $20 million in antibody tests from 2 Chinese companies, only to find out later the tests didn't work, according to an April 16th article from the New York Times. UK officials are trying to recoup their money. On May 2nd, an antibody testing kit for COVID-19 from Swiss pharmaceutical company Roche Diagnostics received an emergency use authorization by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration, which Veretes said has shown encouraging results. The new Roche antibody test is 99.8% specific and 100% sensitive for detection of COVID-19, 14 days after testing positive for COVID-19 by RNA testing, Veretes said. But testing positive for COVID-19 antibodies and having immunity from the virus is something medical experts remain unsure about. The Roche looks quite promising, assuming having antibodies means a person has immunity to COVID-19 when they have antibodies to it, Vretas said. We still do not know if that is true, and likely will not know for several months. Scientists are researching if those who survived COVID-19 are immune from the virus, and medical experts say people should be careful about how they interpret and act on the results of COVID-19 antibody tests that haven't been validated by government regulators. Antibody tests may give people a false sense of security, said Cameron Kadkoda, medical director of immunopathology at the Cleveland Clinic in Ohio. Test manufacturers should stop offering them until we know more. Vretas shared similar concerns. Local health expert says a bad test much worse than no test. People need to be very wary of any antibody kit they can purchase, Vretas said. FDA-approved antibody tests are only sold to clinical laboratories capable of conducting complex lab tests and never sold over the Internet. Vretas noted none of the tests that can be purchased by people have been FDA-approved or have documentation stating the sensitivity and specificity of the tests. A bad test is much worse than no test, Vretas said. In a recent USA Today article, Nicole Carlson Hartzell said she felt invincible after an antibody test for COVID-19 at an urgent care center in Brighton, Michigan, reported what she said was no active infection, no prior infection, and no evidence of immunity. Knowing I wasn't infected, I immediately visited my niece and hugged my sister, said Hartzell, who reasoned she could not transmit the coronavirus at that moment, but her security was fleeting. The novelty of it quickly wore off, as once I was home and saw my husband, I was no longer superhuman and could not guarantee anything anymore, she said. Medical experts worry people who assume they have immunity to COVID-19 could stop social distancing, which could lead to more outbreaks of the virus. It's just a really frightening thing that people are using a technology that hasn't been tested, hasn't been proved, and they're trying to say, yes, you're safe. You can go around COVID people because you have antibodies, Vretas said. Vretas cautioned both the public and private businesses about investing money on antibody tests until more research is done. It's kind of sad that people are wasting a lot of money on doing this, Vretas said. I could come up with Jimbo's COVID test and put it out there, and whether it says positive or negative doesn't really have any real significance, Vretas said. Two men facing capital murder charges for death of Ozona Man, by Melissa Perner, the Ozona Stockman. Two men are facing capital murder charges for allegedly killing Ozona resident Romeo Enriquez Perez. Jefferson Alberto Reyes Ortiz, 24, and Franklin Danuari Calix Reyes, 24, have both been arrested and charged with capital murder. Ortiz was arrested on May 1st in suburban West Palm Beach, Florida, according to the Palm Beach Post. Ortiz has waived extradition and will be returned to Texas, according to a press release from the Crockett County Sheriff's Office. Calix Reyes was arrested over the weekend, but no details of his arrest have been released yet. Perez, 35, was killed in late April at his residence in Ozona. The two men are Honduran nationals and work with Perez in his remodeling business. Perez, also known to friends and family as Scooby, was a graduate of Ozona High School. He owned Perez Remodeling and recently completed work on the Crockett County Public Library. According to his obituary, Perez always loved everyone he met, and everyone was always a friend to him, never a stranger. He was the father of two children, Morgan and Easton Perez, and had many family members and friends in Ozona. Family members have stated that Perez was full of life and extremely loved by many. The Crockett County Sheriff's Office and the Texas Rangers are investigating the incident. According to the Texas Penal Code, a person commits capital murder if he intentionally or knowingly causes the death of an individual and the person intentionally commits the murder in the course of committing or attempting to commit kidnapping, burglary, robbery, aggravated sexual assault, arson, obstruction, or retaliation, or terroristic threat. A person charged with capital murder could receive the death penalty or life in prison without parole, according to the Texas Penal Code. Shannon updates visitor policy, requests visitors bring their own mask, by John Tufts. Shannon Medical Center announced an update to its temporary visitation policy amid the coronavirus pandemic, according to a news release. The containment of COVID-19 and the care for our patients remains our highest priority. To maintain safety for all, while also supporting the needs of our patients, we have revised visitation restrictions within our hospital facilities, the release stated. Beginning May 13, 2020, Shannon will allow one designated visitor inside its inpatient facilities, which includes the emergency department, acute care units, women's and children's hospital, and surgical services. Following state guidelines, no visitors are allowed within Shannon's skilled nursing or behavioral health units at this time, the release said. Shannon announced it will screen visitors before they can enter their facilities. Any visitor with a fever, cough, or other flu-like symptoms will not be allowed to enter the facility. Visitors are asked to bring a mask to the hospital and should wear it in common areas or while providers and staff are present in the patient's room, the release stated. A very limited number of visitors will be allowed to see patients who are at their end-of-life stage, but those visitors must remain in the patient's room for the duration of the visit, which will be coordinated with the family by the patient's care team, according to the release. Cristoval offering free disposable face masks. Here's what you should know, by Elena Edgen. People in and around Cristoval can get free disposable masks Friday, according to a news release from the city of San Angelo. From 5 to 7 p.m., Friday, May 15th, a limited number of masks will be available at the Cristoval Post Office, 19919 Main Street. The masks were donated by Principal LED Intertel and the San Angelo Health Foundation. San Angelo police ask for help identifying suspects from convenience store robberies, by Rosanna Aguilera. The San Angelo Police Department is searching for two men who robbed a pair of convenience stores on Wednesday, May 13th, according to a police news release. Just before 5 a.m. Wednesday, an aggravated robbery occurred at the Stripes convenience store at 1821 North Bryant Boulevard, the release stated. Two unidentified men entered the store, and while one of the men shoplifted, the second man went behind the counter and stole money from the register while displaying a weapon, the release stated. No employees were injured, and the suspects left the scene, possibly in a red or maroon-colored SUV, according to the release. The first man was described as possibly Hispanic, medium build, facial hair, bald, wearing red shoes, blue jeans, and a black hooded sweatshirt with light-colored writing. The second suspect was described as being possibly Hispanic, with a chin-strap-style beard and neck tattoos, wearing black pants, black shoes, a red baseball cap with a black brim, a light-colored shirt with thin horizontal stripes, and a dark hooded vest with fur trim. A little over an hour later, at approximately 6:15 a.m., an aggravated robbery occurred at the 7-Eleven, located at 2202 North Chadron Street, according to the release. One man entered the store and lingered for some time before he stole money from the register while displaying a weapon, the release stated. No employees were injured. While reviewing surveillance video, police identified the suspect wearing the dark hooded, fur-trimmed vest from the previous robbery. Investigators are asking the public to help identify and locate these two criminals before they strike again, the release stated. If you have information about the suspect's identities or whereabouts, contact SAPD at 325-659-8016. To remain anonymous, text TIP SAPD to 888-777 and follow the prompts. San Angelo negotiates 50-year contract to buy 1.6 billion more gallons of water per year, by John Tufts. Officials say San Angelo's long-term water woes might become a thing of the past after city council members approved an agreement designed to bring in billions of more gallons of water to the city. In the big picture, no other city council will have to deal with water issues and the security of water for the city of San Angelo, said San Angelo Mayor Brenda Guntner. City council officials held an emergency meeting Tuesday where they discussed partnering with two other West Texas cities to add 1.6 billion gallons of water per year to San Angelo's water supply. On May 12, 2020, council members voted unanimously, 7-0, on an interlocal agreement between the City of San Angelo, the City of Abilene, and the City of Midland to secure a supply of water in Fort Stockton. Officials said Fort Stockton Holdings, FSH, located in the Fort Stockton area, owns a groundwater production and transport permit to produce 28,400 acre-feet of Edwards Trinity groundwater each year, according to city documents. The contract would go into effect on January 1, 2025, according to city documents. I think San Angelo has truly attained long-term water security, noted one official. Jason Hill, an attorney who worked with all three cities on water rights and water supply issues for the West Texas Water Partnership, said officials spent nearly a decade searching for a long-term water source that met certain criteria. Hill said potential water supplies had to be affordable, reliable, of sufficient quantity, and good quality. With this source of supply, I think San Angelo has truly attained long-term water security, not only for the citizens of San Angelo, but for the West Texas region as well, Hill said. Hill noted the project added to San Angelo's already diverse water portfolio, which includes the Hickory Aquifer Project, Concho River Water Project, OH Ivy Reservoir, Twin Buttes Reservoir, OC Reservoir, Lake Ivy, Lake Spence, and Lake Nasworthy. I think it rivals any other water diversity portfolio in the state, Hill said. The City of Midland will execute the contract, according to City Attorney Teresa James, who applauded the decade-long effort. This has been in the process for 10 years, James said. That's multiple different versions of councils for three cities. To be able to keep a project going through that kind of change and working through three different cities in West Texas that are independent and want to do things their own way, being able to keep this train on the track for that period of time, I think is quite a remarkable thing. How much water is each city getting? Officials said water from Fort Stockton will be split in a manner that addresses each city's needs and stated that population size, current water supplies, and other factors were determined in how much water will be allocated. Midland, 15,000 acre-feet a year. Abilene, 8,400 acre-feet a year. San Angelo, 5,000 acre-feet a year. 1 acre-foot is equivalent to 325,851 gallons. San Angelo's annual average water usage is around 14,000 acre-feet, according to the city news release. What will groundwater from Fort Stockton cost San Angelo? The city will pay $0.30625 per 1,000 gallons, and payments for 2020 will be prorated for the calendar year for a total of about $498,959 a year. from January 1st, 2025 to December 31st, 2029, the rate increases to $0.3425 per 1,000 gallons for a total of about $558,020 per year. Beginning January 1st, 2030, the rate increases to $0.55 per 1,000 gallons of about $896,090 per year. On January 1st, 2031, and through the remainder of the contract term, the rate increases by 0.5% of the rate in effect for the previous year, official documents state. How San Angelo plans to pay for water from Fort Stockton area. Officials said the city has identified a funding source for the water through the San Angelo Development Corporation. 72% of that corporation's revenue is restricted for future water supply, and that revenue stream could support the cost associated with the payment for 5,000 acre-feet of water, according to city documents. The engineer's total project estimate for the well field, pipeline, associated transmission infrastructure, and treatment facility is $300 million, according to a news release. With the city's portion of the total volume, this would put the city's split of the capital infrastructure at an estimated $52.8 million. Operating costs have been projected to be very similar to the operating costs of the Hickory system, according to city documents. City of San Angelo Director of Finance Tina Dierschke told officials that even with less sales tax dollars going to the coronavirus, the city was capable and prepared to make a $500,000 payment per year for the project. "We don't have any concerns," Dierschke said, and noted the city expected to use money from future property portion sales of the Ford Ranch to offset additional costs. Why is the city of San Angelo contracting now versus when we need it? Officials said the expected timeline for developing the new water supply is in the range of 2035 to 2040, but drought could cause the project to be expedited. Similar to the 1970s acquisition of the Hickory groundwater rights, securing these sources happens many years in advance. If the partnership were to wait until a source was needed, there is a high possibility the source would no longer be available to serve the citizens of West Texas, a news release stated. Will the city still pursue the Concho River Water Project? The city of San Angelo is still pursuing the Concho River Water Project, according to a release. Both projects are an effort to diversify the city's water portfolio and expand San Angelo's future water supply to meet the demand of generations to come, according to a release. San Angelo, Abilene, and Midland officials issue statement on contract. What began a decade ago as a collaborative effort by the cities of Abilene, Midland, and San Angelo to address long-term water needs culminated today with the signing of a multi-generational groundwater supply contract, according to a release from the city. The cities negotiated a 50-year agreement with Fort Stockton Holdings, the owner of substantial groundwater rights in far west Texas, for groundwater pumped from the Edwards Trinity Aquifer. The aquifer is recognized as one of the most prolific sources of groundwater in Texas, giving the cities access to a supply that is capable of withstanding substantial droughts. "This is a historic and proud day for Abilene, Texas," Abilene Mayor Anthony Williams said. "Water security has always been a priority for us, as seen with former Mayor Norm Archibald's effort to partner with our neighbors of Midland and San Angelo in the West Texas Water Partnership. Today we have the opportunity to see years of work come to fruition in an agreement that will provide water security for West Texas for generations to come. I am proud to be a part of this team that has worked together to provide for our communities in this monumental way," Williams said. Midland Mayor Patrick Payton expressed his excitement for the agreement as well. As a city council and mayor, we are excited to be able to invest in this partnership for the long-term critical needs of our city, Peyton said. The future of our great city is even more promising because of the ability to secure water for growth and opportunity. We are thankful for the hard work, critical and effective negotiations, and ultimate conclusion of this stage in the process of water security. Guntner said the project echoed what earlier city leaders hoped to achieve 50 years ago. In the 1970s, our city leaders worked to secure additional water supply from the Hickory Aquifer for the next generations, Guntner said. That's exactly what we're doing now with this additional source of water. We are ensuring that there will be a reliable water supply for generations to come. Water Valley man pleads guilty to producing hundreds of images and videos of child porn, by Rosanna Aguilera. A Water Valley man was sentenced May 12, 2020, to serve 60 years in prison for producing hundreds of videos and images of himself sexually abusing a child, according to a news release from the United States Department of Justice. The man also admitted to sexually abusing at least two additional minors, the release stated. Douglas Stephen Groover, 37, was sentenced after pleading guilty in February 2020 to two counts of production of child pornography. The sentence imposed by U.S. District Judge James Wesley Hendricks of the Northern District of Texas also included a lifetime term of supervised release and a restitution award of $53,000, the release stated. Groover also admitted to maintaining a large collection of child pornography, which included depictions of the sexual abuse of infants and toddlers, sadism and bestiality, according to the release. The case was initially investigated by HSI's San Angelo office and the Tom Green County Sheriff's Office. Groover is alleged to have first sexually assaulted a child under the age of 17 in May 2018 at his home in Tom Green County. According to court documents, the victim told investigators she had been assaulted by the suspect for several years, according to a Standard Times article. Court documents say Groover told authorities he had possession of about 2,000 files of child pornography, which included more than 400 images and 20 videos of the victim. 250-unit housing development coming to San Angelo with homes available in November, by Rosanna Aguilera. A 250-unit housing development is being built in San Angelo, with the first set of houses scheduled to be ready for occupancy in November 2020. The San Angelo Chamber of Commerce announced the construction of Creek 27, a 250-unit cottage community development, on May 12th. The homes will be in the southwest portion of the city. This unique multifamily housing development is a market-rate project that will provide smaller homes to retirees, military personnel, young professionals, and area university students, according to a news release. The unique Creek 27 project will help fulfill the critical need for small homes in San Angelo. The property is a development consisting of small homes ranging from approximately 750 to 1,100 square feet and arranged like a small neighborhood. Creek 27 is being built by J. Ferg Homes and is expected to have the first half completed for occupancy in November. The housing developer is 2002 Angelo State University graduate Justin Harden, who is a partner with his family's Georgetown-based Flat Creek Builders and a Houston-area high-end custom home builder. We understand the need for more multifamily housing in San Angelo, considering the existing apartment and rental home market is at 96% occupancy, much of which is older product, Harden said. Creek 27 is different than a traditional apartment complex. The Creek 27 units are individual small homes with very clean, modern design elements. According to Michael Looney, VP of Economic Development for the San Angelo Chamber of Commerce, they were aiming for a high-end market-rate rental community developed by a member of the San Angelo community. We envisioned an attractive neighborhood managed with high standards, Looney said. Creek 27 will deliver this to the market. San Angelo Mayor Brenda Guntner said the town has needed new affordable housing options. I am so excited about Creek 27 as it is an innovative approach to housing, she said. I am confident that the response to Creek 27 will be very strong. So strong, we probably should be looking for another location. The 2019 third-party Resintel housing study, commissioned by the City of San Angelo Development Corporation, paved the way for the approval of this project by providing evidence of the demand for this type of housing development, according to the release. Affidavit states San Angelo man took nude pictures of 12-year-old child on multiple occasions, by Elena Edgen. A San Angelo man has been arrested after a 12-year-old child told police officers the man took nude photos of them, according to an arrest affidavit. The child stated the man took the photos while they were in the bathroom, records state. Officers found one photo on the man's cell phone. The man reportedly admitted to taking nude photographs of the child on multiple occasions over a phone call which an officer heard, according to the affidavit. Police arrested Andrew Edwards, 33, Tuesday on suspicion of producing a sexual performance by a child younger than 14 years old. He remained in Tom Green County Jail in lieu of a $75,000 bond as of 9:45 a.m. Wednesday, according to online jail records. The charge is a second-degree felony, punishable by 2 to 20 years in jail and a fine not to exceed $10,000. Drebruder's Custom Sausage Owners Building Storefront in San Angelo, by Rosanna Aguilera. A San Angelo sausage business is getting a storefront after being in business for nearly 40 years. Drebruder's Custom Sausage is owned by Candy Raspberry and her husband, Kurt. The business started from Kurt's grandparents, who were German and developed the sausage recipes. As he grew older, his parents purchased a plant for deer processing to keep the business going. He was raised around it all of his life, Candy said. He learned it all at a young age. Once the two were married, they would make the sausage and give it away until people told them they needed to sell it since it was too good to just give away. We decided we would try to see how it goes, Candy said. When we started, my boys were just selling the sausage out of ice chests on the corner. The first store the sausage company sold its food out of was Albertsons, which is now Market Street. In San Angelo, the product can be found at both HEB's, Food King, and Market Street. However, it doesn't stop there. Their sausage can also be found in Midland, Odessa, Big Spring, Abilene, Big Lake, Ozona, Sonora, El Dorado, Junction, Mason, Brady, and Menard. Now the couple is in the process of building a storefront for their German produce. We are going through the last stage of our plan, getting approved by the city. As soon as they do that, we are ready to go, Candy said. Hopefully we can expand more throughout Texas or even outside of Texas. They will be building their new facility at 570 Smith Boulevard from the ground up. They are looking to be up and running by the end of 2020. At the store, they will be selling pork, regular, and jalapeno and cheese sausage, as well as pork and beef dried sausage. My husband wants to perfect his breakfast sausage, so that will probably be there too, Candy said. Originally from Mason, the couple said San Angelo is their home and they are ready to lay down more foundation. We just want to say thank you to San Angelo for always supporting us, Candy said. Teen driver charged with fleeing San Angelo police after hit-and-run crash, pot possession, by Paul Harris. Officers with the San Angelo Police Department arrested a 17-year-old driver Monday after a foot chase that followed a hit-and-run, according to a news release. Police were dispatched to the area of West Harris Avenue and South Abe Street just after 2:30 p.m. on May 11th, after reports that a gray 2005 Toyota passenger car fled the scene of a crash, according to the release. While en route, officers received information that the suspect had pulled into a gas station in the 100 block of South Abe Street after the vehicle became disabled. Once in the parking lot, the suspected driver left the car and fled on foot, the release stated. A police officer who found the suspected driver commanded him to stop, but officials said the driver ignored the police and a foot chase began, according to the release. The suspected driver was eventually taken into custody in a parking lot near the 400 block of West Beauregard Avenue. During their investigation, police learned the suspected driver, identified as 17-year-old Adam Gonzalez, had allegedly rear-ended a white Dodge Ram pickup that had been stopped at the light on South Abe and West Harris, according to the release. When the driver of the pickup, a 22-year-old San Angelo man, made contact with Gonzalez, the 17-year-old reportedly told the man not to call the police and then fled the area, the release stated. The driver of the pickup, who was not injured during the crash, followed Gonzalez to the Shell station. Police first charged Gonzalez with evading arrest or detention. Officials later charged Gonzalez with possession of marijuana after police say they found marijuana inside the vehicle, according to the release. Gonzalez also received citations for failure to control speed, no driver's license, and failure to stop and leave information. Want a coronavirus test for free? Here's how you can get one in San Angelo this weekend, by Elena Edgen. The Texas Military Department will host another free coronavirus testing event in the San Angelo area this Saturday, according to a news release from the city. From 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., Saturday, May 16th, residents who wish to get tested for COVID-19 can do so at the McNeese Convention Center, 501 Rio Concho Drive. To schedule an appointment, residents beginning Thursday can call 512-883-2400. Testing on Saturday has been offered free of charge. The Texas Military Department last offered free testing for COVID-19 in the San Angelo area on May 6th. Officials said residents who arrive Saturday for testing without an appointment will have to wait until all scheduled appointments are finished. Residents do not need to have symptoms of the coronavirus to be tested for it, according to the release. Test samples will be sent to a lab, and officials said results should come in between 2 to 7 days after the test, depending on the number of tests submitted. For more information, visit txcovidtest.org. The Texas Military Department is operating rural testing sites throughout the state in partnership with the Texas Division of Emergency Management, Texas Department of State Health Services, Texas Emergency Medical Task Force, Texas Department of Public Safety, Texas Parks and Wildlife Department, and Texas A&M AgriLife Extension, according to the release. The number, once again, to make an appointment is 512-883-2400. Hair salons, barbershops, and nail salons reopen in San Angelo, by Colin Murphy. Following an announcement from Governor Greg Abbott last week, salons and barbershops in San Angelo have started to reopen with social distancing guidelines and enhanced safety protocols in effect to prevent the spread of coronavirus. Tori Stubbs, owner of the Burlap and Paisley Boutique and Salon, said while the business is running at limited capacity to observe social distancing recommendations, they are scheduling appointments and getting stylists back to work. "This was really hard," Stubbs said. "We were closed for 8 weeks. I'm glad we are open now. We are ready to rock and roll. We are taking extra precautions to make sure we are safe. We are allowing one person per stylist and maintaining 6 feet apart. We are constantly cleaning. We are super excited that we can come back to work. Although allowed to open last week, signs at several barbershops in San Angelo indicated they plan to wait to begin the reopening process until this week. One shop open for business is the Vintage Barber, and owner Teresa Gonzalez said she and her customers are ready to return to some semblance of normalcy. Unfortunately, according to Gonzalez, the coronavirus has altered the traditional social dynamic of the classic neighborhood barbershop as a place to gather and spend time. I think what our customers miss most is the socializing, Gonzalez said. Barbershops are known as places where you go to talk about your life, and now it's changed. People want to come and hang out. We know our customers on a very personal level, and they want to see us and make sure that we are okay. But we have to follow the guidelines, and that makes it hard for them. And that's what everyone misses the most. Hopefully, it will go back to normal. The Texas Department of Licensing and Regulation released a list of recommended health protocols for barbershops and hair salons and a checklist for reopening. For barbershops, this list of protocols included keeping 6 feet of space between clients, limiting services, wearing masks and gloves, and screening employees before they start work. Here's one of the historical articles that Standard Times writer Matthew McDaniel produces. Post offices formed the first American network. For pioneers striking out across the American frontier in the mid-1800s, mail was the only means of communication with the families they left behind, making reliable mail service an obsession for the U.S. government, eager for its federal network to tie a young nation together. In the Concho Valley, Ben Ficklin, Texas, was the earliest regular post office, established in what was then Bexar County on December 17, 1875, near the site that later became the first seat of Tom Green County. Fort Concho had a post office on post, but after William S. Beck, a former wagonmaster and fort sutler, gained the mail contract for the fort, he moved that office to the little settlement first known as Over the River, which caused some problems. According to historical documents, Colonel Benjamin Grierson, commanding officer at that time, had been trying to keep his men out of the village, also known as Santa Angela, and he resented that they had to venture across the Concho to send or receive mail. According to local history, this caused the colonel to insist that all military mail must be collected at Ben Ficklin, just despite Vec's burgeoning saloon and mercantile operation. The Fort Concho post office was taken over by Vec on January 12, 1880, but operations passed to another fort trader, Jas L. Millspaugh, at the end of that year. According to historical records, Orlando W. Smith served as postmaster from June 1882 until September 1883, and the office was closed December 1, 1884, with service transferred across the river. During this period, Santa Angela grew into a little town, and a post office was opened with the new name Santa Angela under Nathan A. Osmer on January 20, 1881. Osmer was succeeded by Ellen Osmer Farr before the settlement's name was officially changed to San Angelo to suit the U.S. Postmaster General, as the masculine San didn't match the feminine Angela as originally presented. The first officially recorded postmaster of San Angelo was William E. Ellis, effective October 25, 1883. Ellis was followed by Robert E. Harris, May 6, 1885, Samuel L. P. Smith, April 16, 1889, J. L. Phelan, December 19, 1893, and then Edwin Blanchard, who held the post from July 27, 1897 until February 2nd, 1914, when he resigned and former San Angelo Enterprise publisher Penrose N. Ions took the helm. In the earliest days of West Texas postage, a 5-cent stamp paid for a letter weighing less than 1/2 ounce, traveling up to 300 miles. A 10-cent stamp ensured delivery for double the weight, or twice the distance. Stamps were optional, though, as many letters were sent postage due, with all expenses paid by the recipient. William S. Veck, pioneer entrepreneur. William Smith Veck was born in New Jersey in 1826, and after serving in the Mexican-American War in 1848, he headed for the gold fields of California, where he eventually worked as a government wagon master for the Army. And it was in that capacity that he first came to San Angelo in 1865. Veck was one of the post settlers who provided goods for the soldiers not issued by the Army, and he eventually established the first store and saloon in town inside an adobe building around 1880 after he became postmaster for Fort Concho. According to local history, Veck had a strong room, and many of his customers began making deposits there, so before long, he was paying orders drawn on their accounts. As he traveled to San Antonio on business regularly, he was engaged to act as a private banker on behalf of several others, and his bank just naturally grew out of these arrangements. In the summer of 1882, he officially opened his private bank with Mark H. Day serving as cashier. A couple of years later, he partnered with S. E. Sterrett and George B. Sherwood, and their new building went up in 1884. They were ready for business January 1, 1885, and not long thereafter, the Concho National Bank, originally organized in July 1882, opened its new building diagonally across the street, and the two banks kept an eye on one another for years. According to historical records, both banks did brisk business with the personnel at Fort Concho, since there were 8 companies of soldiers stationed there at the time. The old San Angelo Club was upstairs, and the Pickwick Hall was next door, forming the nucleus of the new village. According to historical accounts, the Veck yard in the block was surrounded by high palisades made of mesquite and oak posts, and served as the point from which all local surveys were started. At that time, the majority of structures in town were adobe jackals and plank shacks, and a majority of the citizenry had their livelihoods tied up with the fort in one way or another. The Veck, Sterrett & Company Bank was succeeded by the Citizens National Bank in 1891 and was liquidated in 1896, according to records. Later, the building was used by George Richardson, pioneer rancher and wool buyer, as an office. After a disastrous fire in 1904 ruined the First National Bank building at Beauregard Avenue and Chadburn Street, Richardson invited First National's officials to use Veck's Bank, and they operated there for a month before moving to a new location, which enabled the institution to not miss a single business day due to the fire. During the 1940s and 1950s, famous local locksmith and gunsmith Joe Clark, whose father had been the village blacksmith, occupied the building. The building had been serving as home to the local Army surplus store in September of 1959 when it was sold to make room for a local automobile dealership. As the first solid stone building in San Angelo, designed by a real architect, its construction marked a turning point toward respectability in the village. Veck died in March 1900 and is buried in San Angelo's historic Fairmount Cemetery. Read more. Local postal history is actually much more interesting than space will allow for. Fortunately, local historian Susan Miles wrote the whole thing out in The Post Office Wars, published in the Fort Concho Report, Volume 12, Number 1, Spring 1980. Thank you for joining us for the reading of the San Angelo Standard-Times. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.